You're listening to the You Got Jobbed podcast. This is episode 19. Welcome to the You Got Jobbed podcast. How are you doing? Oh, wait. My name is Suzanne Yeagley.
And I'm Avril Watson.
And John Bon Jovi's here with us today. I don't know.
What? He is?
Yeah. Anyway, okay.
Is he living on a prayer?
Oh, boy.
A hope and a dream.
Is he wanted dead or alive? I feel like I do that all the time with people. Okay. This week, I printed out three different interviews and I couldn't decide. So I think we'll do one, and then depending on what time it is, maybe we'll do two. I guess I just couldn't decide. But because they're kind of, some are kind of gross. Some are, I don't even know. Okay, so let's just start, I guess. We'll do the gross one.
Yay, gross.
All right.
All right, the sperm bank. An interview. Is it Dina?
Yeah.
Or Dinah?
Okay. With Dina.
With Dina in.
Yes. And I don't remember Dina's last name, honestly. And I do know that, like, years later, she was dating a friend of mine. And years later, my friend told me she hated that interview.
Oh, no.
I know.
How come? So
I'm a little bit nervous. I haven't read this for, it was 2003. I haven't read it for however many years.
Did they say why she hated it?
No. Well, she said, I guess Dina said, I could have done a better job myself, which...
You, Suzanne, could have done a better job, like, asking, no, or she, Dina,
she
could have done a...
Dina could have done it.
Well, everybody's their own worst critic, so I get it.
I'm definitely my own worst critic.
Yeah, so I get it.
Yeah,
I don't know. You, Dina, man.
Yeah, no, it's... I can only imagine. I've only had someone else interview me once.
I was trying to think.
Oh, look, there's a guy cleaning over
Stop
there.
Stop it. Anyway, shut the curtains.
One time, it's not up anymore. I'm so sad. I tried to Google it and I clicked the link and it took me to Virusville or something. But it was like this guy from this, they had a literary magazine called Yankee Pot Roast and they interviewed me. And, it's kind of good that it got taken down because they said one of the questions they asked me was like, this was usually, I always do the interviews. I call the person, we talk on the phone or I do it in person. But this was, they just emailed me a list of questions.
Oh.
And one of the questions was, if Yeagley had a meaning, what would Yeagley be? Like, what would Yeagley? And I was young and foolish and I wrote, because I was talking to my friend Andrea about it, and I said, oh, you know, that's one of the questions. And she said, I think it means clitoris. So that's what the interview said. It said, like, my friend Andrea says it means clitoris. Anyway, so that's what Yeagley means. Okay, okay, hey, Dina, how did you get a job at a sperm bank?
It was a temp job. I was trying to get a job at the university's art gallery, and someone there recommended that I sign up with the university's temp service. Of course, after I signed up, I found out that 90% of the jobs that they had were at the hospital. But then I was running out of money and desperate for a job. I mean, that's quite a variance in what she was kind of looking to do from the beginning.
Oh, she was
art
getting...
gallery
yeah.
to sperm bank? But yeah. Hey... you got to pay the rent.
That's every single interview. You got to pay the rent.
Exactly.
What kind of question is this? What were the main things they did there? Gee, Dina, what did they do at the sperm bank?
Well, they have a lot of nudie magazines.
I know. I think we do talk about that.
Well, she says they stored donor sperm, took sperm donations, and ran semen analysis. That is not the job that I want.
Well, it depends. What does semen analysis mean?
Are they
maybe it's like they have them all lined up in a maze and they're trying to see which one is
the fastest.
Right. Their egg is in the middle.
What one makes it through the maze the fastest?
Right, right.
That's the one that is the bad one. Like, that's never going to make a baby.
That'd be great, but they call it semen analysis, so it's sounds like it's, you know, very scientific, but really it's just seeing, you know, which sperm.
Exactly. Which one's going to give it's not someone a dumb who dumb. Comes in for, you yeah. know.
Okay.
She says, it's basically where they do the dirty work. Dirty work is in quotes, listeners. They also cryobanked sperm for cancer patients, men about to start chemotherapy. All right, now we're going down a sad road. That part was kind of crazy. These guys' doctors were like, oh, you've got cancer. We'll start you on chemo tomorrow. Run downstairs and bank some sperm while you've got the chance. And these guys would come down to the lab. They weren't even sure why or what they were being sent to us for. What was really heartbreaking was the leukemia patients.
What? Oh, God. This what? Is,
why are we starting this?
Sorry,
Suzanne?
I am.
Boys who were 12, 13, 14. It was like, these kids have probably never had a girlfriend, and here they are banking sperm to impregnate their future wife.
Oh.
I think I'm just going to start bawling right now. And what could be more embarrassing than having your mom take you to the hospital to masturbate? I mean, I 100% agree. That is just...
I wonder if they still do that.
I'm sure they do. I mean,
what if they die? What if they're like 12 and they give sperm and then they die at 15? Do their parents do anything with that sperm?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe that was a question you should have asked during this.
I don't know if she would know this. She was a freaking temp. Right. I don't know.
She's like, that's
But how does she even know this? This is so sad. Well, I mean, at the second that a 12-year-old boy comes in, you're just like, what is going on?
Exactly. Like,
why are your parents bringing you here? This is horrible. What is going on?
I don't know, but I
That's
can't.
That's really forward thinking. Like, your kid gets sick, and you're like, we got to quick bank some sperm.
Right. I don't even think that would never cross my mind. No. No, definitely not. Jinx.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, hopefully this interview takes a turn.
I want to ask Mike what could be more embarrassing than having your mom take you to the hospital to masturbate.
Oh.
That's okay. I know. It's pretty morbid, but also I like the idea of Mike's mom. Mike! And Mike holding his hand, taking him. Okay. Anyway. Dina, what were your job duties?
I was a secretary, so I had to take phone calls and schedule appointments for semen analysis, inseminations, and sperm donations. I was either talking to women who were ready for insemination or scheduling a semen analysis for their husband, who was too embarrassed to make the call himself, or I was talking to men who were all embarrassed and trying to crack off-color jokes.
That sounds right.
I can imagine that's exactly what it would be like.
Honestly, imagine there was... This is why I didn't want to talk about this. It's just so inappropriate. But, like, imagine there was a place where women showed up where you're like, hey, ladies, go in the bathroom and just masturbate.
No!
Like, and you know that's what you're there for. Like, you walk in and they're looking at you going, what kind of magazines would you enjoy in order to masturbate? Like, oh,
it's
shit.
Just all very clinical and weird, for sure. But I mean, this is like a really weird segue, but I kind of think it's...
But you're like, but I walk into places all the time and say, what type of magazines do you provide? Because I'm going to go in there and masturbate.
I'm just thinking it's probably also the same thing of how actors feel who are in pornos. You know, like,
I thought you were going to say actors in love scenes, but you took it all the way.
Well, I mean that too, but can you imagine, you know, hey, it's time for this scene.
Well,
and
no, that's, I'm not going to be in a porno, so.
Well, I'm not going
can
to a sperm
bank. Can you be in this
bank,
scene? Look, the newspaper boy is going to come over. And...
I'm just saying it's all very clinical and weird and whatever. All right, off-color jokes. Oh, she's going to keep going. So she says, I had a little script I used to explain the procedure for semen analysis.
Oh, see, here's this in-depth semen analysis explanation.
2 to 3 days prior to your appointment, you have to have an ejaculation to clear out the dead sperm and debris. Debris? What the hell kind of debris is in there?
In case somehow you have, like, shrubs. In your,
I don't know.
We've been watching this
Clean
show.
The pipes.
So the show we were watching right before you came over, this show called Alone, Lucy May. It's like Naked and Afraid.
Oh, right.
I just have to tell you. So when you start watching it, you're like, who's going to win? Who's going to kick ass at this? You know, because they.
Wait, I think I've.
Don't tell me who
no,
wins.
No, no. I think I just watched this whole thing. Like, I binge watched it a couple weeks
that's
ago.
That's what we're doing. We're binge watching. Yeah.
Season one.
Okay. Well, we're watching season three, but. I have to say, so there's this girl who's from Lopez Island, Washington, right? So
Up
here. And she's kind of like, you know, hippie kind of and into nature and whatnot. And I thought she's going to die right away. Like, she's too relaxed. But there was one guy who left after 3 days because his mind wouldn't stop spinning.
Yeah.
So he couldn't handle the being alone part, which was, I found, I mean, he had a very nice setup, but he couldn't handle it mentally. Anyway, this woman is incredible. So not only is she like catching fish, the first thing she did was build herself a chair. So she,
she's like, forget sitting, the shelter. I just want a nice little chair.
She sits this chair by the water and fishes while she's sitting in the chair. And I'm like,
she's hanging
you
out.
You have got it made, girl. And then she spends probably 10 days building what is the nicest house I've ever seen. She could live there year round for the rest of her life.
Wow.
This house is, it's like she can stand up and walk in it. It's a huge A-frame house. It's got all kinds of insulation, kind of like shrubs or whatever that she's woven into the walls. It has a bed that's off the ground and like made out of bamboo and moss. She's got a table. She's got,
she's like all set up for a guest to come
over. She has hangers. She has a rope with hangers, like the most beautiful homemade hangers to keep her stuff dry and off the ground. And then she has a hearth. She hauled up all these huge rocks from the river and built a huge hearth where she makes a fire and then the stones heat the house after she's after
Jeez,
the fire goes
Louise,
out.
Like total pioneer woman. I would be
incredible
out of there in 3 hours flat.
I can see Lucy. I'm like, we should go to this. Like, I would love to go to that house. And she goes, yeah, but look at what we have here. Like, she's pointing at our bedroom. Like, but look at this. And there's no pumas about to attack while we sleep.
You don't have to worry about a bear in the middle of the night.
She's like, and if you're thirsty, you just go pour it from the water fountain. You know, from the water fountain, from the bathroom, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, what was my, I don't know.
I don't know how you got onto that, we were sitting here talking about debris.
That's why, because this one guy fell and cut his arm up with the axe, and they came to see, to check on him, and they're like, oh, no, there's debris in there. Oh. That's what made me think of it, because they're like, nope, you have debris, you're getting out of here.
I mean, it took us a long time to get there, but you circled back around.
That's what it was, debris. Sorry. Okay, clean out the debris.
Okay, so clean out the dead sperm and debris, followed by abstinence until the time of the collection,
which
helps you build up your sperm count. You can either book the collection room at the lab or collect at home and drop off your semen sample. Okay, why wouldn't people just do that then?
And also, what are these rooms like where they're collecting samples at the place? You know, is it like a leather couch? You know, like...
No, right?
Why don't they just do it at home? I agree. Yeah.
If you collect at home, you can either pick up a sterile container from the lab or use a sterilized baby food jar. As long as it's absolutely dry, because water molecules kill sperm.
Hmm.
Okay, there goes that whole theory. Remember, back in the day.
Remember the sperm theory? No,
I don't. The whole hot tub thing.
Oh, yeah.
When you're a kid and they say... Oh, you can't get pregnant in a hot tub because
water kills sperm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's true.
I always thought that was just like an urban legend kind of a thing.
Could? What was your thought? Did you think
no,
you
they
could?
Said you could make out and whatever in the hot tub because you're not going to get pregnant.
So you could have sex in a hot tub because you won't get pregnant.
Right. But ew, gross, first of all.
If they're not out in the water, I mean, if they're in you, then they're not in the water. If anyone out there has gotten pregnant in a hot tub, please contact us immediately, because we need to know whether it's safe or not. We have a hot tub in our condo, and when...
They freak me out. Public ones freak me out.
I know. I have friends like, I love very dirtiest. Much who maybe listen to this, probably don't, but I love them very much, but they have no fear of that. And I don't know if I have a fear, but Mike... planted the seed of not that sounds wrong he planted the idea that it's disgusting to me, and now I can't get it out of my head. But we have this one in our building, and one time I had really sore muscles, so I went down there and I went in there. But they have all these signs now that's basically like no sex in the hot tub, and they have like very visible huge cameras looking at you when you're in there, because there was shenanigans. I know
I'm telling
so then you know that it's happening.
It's just like hotel rooms,
but
the first
sperm's
thing I
dead
do
but
is
if I don't want to see it,
rip the bedspread off as soon as I get into a hotel room, because I know they don't wash those things, they only wash the sheets.
Oh yeah, the bedspread.
So I'm like, don't touch the bedspread. But I public hot tubs are gross. And I remember my friend, she had a little bachelorette party out on, we went to like Friday Harbor or Orcas Island or something like that. A bunch of us girls rented a house, And there was a hot tub there. And, you know, I don't like heat. So yeah, I said, oh, I'll be over here and be your entertainment. I'll sing the songs. I'll dance. I'll, like, hang out here with you.
Right,
I'll go get your drinks. But I'm not getting in that stinking hot tub.
Yeah.
This poor girl, this friend of mine, she was getting married, what, in like a week?
Oh, no.
And every single person that got in that hot tub
what?
Got some random nasty rash. Like, it was like all over their body, red blotches, itching, hurting, whatever.
She had that for her wedding?
Yep. She had to go, like, get some sort of Benadryl stuff or whatever and, like, rub it all over. I mean, I think she had enough time to get rid of it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What a thing to have to worry about the week before your wedding.
God.
Because you went in some nasty old hot tub.
This is not related, but I had a friend, they got married in Italy, right? It was like this beautiful thing. And we went there and she forgot her birth control. And it's her wedding. And she was just like losing her mind and going all over town trying to explain to Italian doctors that she needed birth control immediately. I think she was successful, but oh, yeah, yeah. Like, you're trying to relax before your wedding.
Right.
And meanwhile, it's like, well, there's no wedding night because...
Well, it's called a condom, people. But it's your wedding night. I get
where
it.
Where are we?
Okay, oh, yeah, so the water males kill the sperm.
What am I doing? Did guys ever bring the semen in anything other than the approved containers?
Yes. I mean, hey, it was a good question because
apparently.
She says yes. Sometimes they would bring the semen in that thing. What's it called? Like a country girl. Sorry. Oh, God, that kills me. Okay, like a country crock tub.
Right, butter.
Jeez, those are
a margarine.
Right?
Well, you know.
There was another guy who brought his semen in a little prescription bottle. Oh, gee.
I can't read the next sentence. I'm going to have a drink.
Uh-oh. He'd peeled off the label. Oh, no! And there was... Why do I have to read this? There was pubic hair sticking to the bottle. So
why is it when you have a full head of hair, it's fine, and then when there's just a single hair, it's so disgusting?
I don't know. I really don't want to go down that road right now.
Yeah, what's he doing?
I need a drink of red wine.
Yeah, that's, do you have any other interesting stories?
Once, some high school seniors left a message that said they wanted to donate sperm to raise money for their prom. I had to call them and explain the whole process. That's not easy.
Oh, that it's not easy. It's not easy.
Oh, that it's not easy.
You don't
just
get to come in here and...
It's not like donating
sperm
plasma
to raise money.
Or blood or something.
When I was in college, I was sort of... I was going to say I was vehemently single, but basically I just was single because no one wanted to go out with me. But I had this... There was this issue of like the local Washington... DC magazine or something. I don't know. And on the front, it said like, it was like how to be a single mom, like how to get artificially inseminated, like, you know, the whole process of like looking through the book and choosing your sperm donor and having it on your own. And I saved that magazine for years because I was like,
did?
I just assumed that that's how I would be a parent someday.
Gosh.
I just thought, well, I can't seem to date a guy for more than 3 weeks. And, you know, I don't know. My last date was like with a waiter from Chili's and it just wasn't looking very hopeful. So I was just like, I just was sure. And I think it was just sitting out on my desk. And I just wonder if my parents came to visit, if they were like,
what the heck is she doing?
Although I have to say I knew a lady a few years ago who did that. She was like in her 40s or something and just decided.
I know a couple people.
Yeah, they just decided to do it. Isn't that, it's so, imagine the only thing I can imagine is like you're walking down the street and you see a guy who looks a lot like your son or daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, snap. Like that's the guy
that
from
him.
The thing. Or, oh, this
donor
is.
Donor number 5264.
There was a guy, I used to live in Vermont. There was this one guy who was like, I wasn't a big fan of his and he had donated sperm a lot.
Oh.
And I just thought, oh no. Like this.
Oh,
this
no.
Guy's procreating and the poor women don't realize. Oh, okay. All right. What's the process for the high school boys here? What's the process, Dina?
So you meet with the nurse practitioner who gives you a thorough exam.
Mm.
As part of the... I'm like, not even going to talk about that. As part of the exam...
Uh-oh.
Oh. Here comes the PG-13 part. You have your penis swabbed with a Q-tip. Oh! And then they put it in your urethra.
Oh, my.
That scared a lot of people off.
You think?
And
a Q-tip is huge.
I can understand why. And you have to answer detailed questions about your sexual history. Then you have to come in once a week for several months.
Whoa. All right,
so this is a very intense process.
Whoa. Do they? How much do they pay you for that? Because that is, most guys, how much would you have to pay them to stick a Q-tip in there?
I mean, maybe ask someone we know, because I don't.
Yeah, no.
I can't answer this question.
Mike and he would say $1 million. Like, he would just be like, what are you talking about? We were watching The Amazing Race yesterday, and this guy, they had to do this thing where they're belaying off the side of a building, you know, and this one guy was like super pissed because his nuts were getting crushed.
Oh, no.
And he was like, it's not funny. And so, oh, my God. So, I'm sorry. This season of The Amazing Race is people who've never met. And so on the first episode, they do this like race, this just quick race, and whoever finishes first gets to pick their partner from who else is left, right?
Interesting.
So there are people who are like so different and are looking at each other like, I hate you, and why did I get you as my partner? Now I have to travel around the world with you.
Well, and it's going to ruin the whole experience, maybe.
Oh, my God. There's this one, these two women who got along, like, amazing, and they got out right away.
Oh, dang it.
But I think I've seen behind the scenes or something where once they get out, they just go to, like, a secluded resort somewhere where they get everything they could ever want. So they get to lay around for six weeks while the rest of the teams are running around the world or something.
Oh, because you can't, they're not allowed.
You're, like, sequestered or something because you can't come back after a week, and then people would know. I don't know. I think that's how it works.
Now I'm sad I didn't get on that show.
It's not too late.
Oh, yeah, no. I would be kicked off probably on the very first. My sense of direction. Oh, my gosh. Me and Sissy all the time say, oh, we should try that show together. And then we can't even find, you know, the grocery store sometimes.
Like, how do you feel about heights?
I'm okay with heights. Raylene has a harder time with heights, but I don't want to eat anything gross.
No,
and
me neither. That would end me. I can't do that.
Like anything in water, probably not for me. I don't know.
So what would be your strong suits? So when you were trying out for it, what were you like? Well, you're like, although it's really fun when someone's like, I can't find anything. I hate heights. I don't like water. I don't like heat. I won't eat anything gross. That's pretty much the whole show.
I auditioned like 15 years ago. Yeah. So I was a lot like, I'm just like a crotchety old lady now. And now I just won't do certain things. But back then I would have done anything.
Yeah.
Like I was way, you know. Alligator hunting, prawn fishing, blah, blah, blah.
I'm supposed to talk to this woman. No, not tomorrow. So anyway, eventually I'm supposed to talk to a woman I interviewed who is, she does like things with medical, traveling outside the U.S., how to find medical care, how to find safety precautions or something. I don't know. I haven't learned too much about it yet. But anyway, she was telling me that anytime she goes to a country where there's not very, where the safety measures are a little bit lax, like she will always, like, yeah, she was telling me about some German tourist who like did that zip line type thing that you did, but they hooked the wrong and he went and it ripped off and he died. Like, went flying.
I know. I mean, see, the older you get,
the more aware you are. The more you don't want a Q-tip in your urethra.
I mean, please, I went ziplining in Costa Rica and these guys were crazy and I still did it, you know?
Yeah.
So there's still certain things that I do and I don't really care.
Yeah.
But there's just other things. And if there's $1 million or whatever on the line, sure, I'll force myself to do it.
I still don't know if I would
I'll complain about it, but I'll do it.
Well, this one guy in that Alone show, he was walking through the woods to try to get, he had to gather bamboo or whatever, and he is so pissed at the forest. Like, he's just screaming, these roots and these trees. And I'm like, well, yes, that's the whole show. Like, that's what you're here for. The thing about the guy, the thing I was thinking about was with the urethra Q-tip. But this guy on The Amazing Race, he's like, my balls are getting crushed. And he was so pissed. And it took him like 3 times of going up and down just to finally complete the task. And his partner, who doesn't really know him, is just like, come on, you can do it. Trying to be complimentary.
Get your butt down here now.
She was being so patient with him. And he was just like, my balls are, it's not funny. And she's like,
I'm not laughing.
Could you? Yeah, I'm not laughing. And then he gets to the end. He gets to the mat at the end. And like Phil, the host, is just like so you had a little trouble or whatever. And he's like, yeah, my balls hurt. It's not funny. Like, he was so pissed. And it made you just laugh at him. You're like, dude, you're on national TV. You're like,
actually, it is kind of funny. It.
Well, that's the thing. I bet, like, now I'm, but one time I was here in Disneyland and Lucy was having a meltdown and then Mike started melting down and I pulled out the video recorder and I started recording it and Mike was like, get that thing out of my face, you know, like it's freaking out. And then I played it back to him, you know, a few days later and he laughed and laughed, but he was like,
yeah,
please delete that. But yeah, it's funny to see yourself.
It's not my shining moment, but it is kind of funny.
It is funny to see yourself freak out. Anyways, yeah, this guy's nuts hurt. Sorry. It's probably it. You had to see that kind of thing. All right, Dina, was it like you see in movies? Did they have some sort of room? Oh, here we go, down to the room. Did they have some sort of room where guys would go? Now, I don't even think I've seen a movie where a guy went into a sperm donation room, I don't think.
I've seen, like, sitcoms and stuff. Right,
or like comedies where they're trying.
Right, and then they maybe show the room, but it always just looks like a normal room. Yeah, and I think that's probably not what it looks like.
Hospital room, right?
It's just like a little... it just seems like it'd be small white room and whatever. Boring.
Bam, chicka, bam,
yeah, it probably doesn't look like that.
Well, there was a disco ball on the side.
Right. Velvet red.
And there were girls. There were girls going around on roller skates and short shorts.
Don't think it's like Dirk Diggler days.
Dirk Diggler? What's it? Is that?
Yeah, that's from. Why can't I think of the name of the movie?
It's not Roller Girl and the little firecrackers and.
What the heck is the name of that movie? Oh my gosh. Anyways, we'll think of it in a minute. Look it up on your phone.
Boogie Nights.
Yes. Thank you. She says, in the lab, there was a collection room. Oh, here she goes. You were right, Suzanne.
Oh my God. I forgot about this. Sorry. I was so excited.
That had a leather couch and a bathroom area and a big red light above the door on the outside to indicate that it was in use.
Oh my.
It was
like on air.
Oh. Right. It was a dark room with a TV. I think they had, softcore porn in movies and maybe Playboy too, I guess. And lots of white cotton towels. Mm. Men coming to collect a sample for semen analysis could bring their wife or girlfriend in the room with them. But when you told them that, they usually got really embarrassed and said they'd be okay by themselves. They don't want to do that in front of their girlfriends or wives, I guess.
Yeah.
Huh. Just the whole thing is just making me very uncomfortable.
Well, I'm considering it like, is it better? No, I don't know.
I guess it's better just to be alone.
Just do it at home. Why are you doing it in the office?
I agree.
Although, you know what? Probably, if it were my husband, I would be like, look, if you do it at home, you're going to be putting it in a pill jar with a pubic hair on the side. Right. Whereas if you go there, they'll have sterile stuff.
Well, and then you have to make sure that you get it there safely and that you don't contaminate it, that you don't drop it. I don't know. Whatever.
No, maybe. And especially if it's in a country crock container. It's not probably the most
secure. It's not
secure.
Sealed properly. Mm. Yes, exactly.
Okay, they're okay with themselves. Okay. Oh, so this is my question, too. Do they have binders full of photos of donors that women can choose from?
I think it's a New York State law that they can't show photographs to protect confidentiality. Mm. They have basic information, though, like ethnic background, hobbies. Some women would bring in pictures of their husband and ask if we could match him. The lab techs were really good about it. They knew what the donors looked like, and they would try to match it.
So they have access to the pictures, it sounds like.
Yeah, I guess so. I have always wondered what that's like, because again, on TV or whatever, it seems like they just have a piece of paper with, like, there's no photos, but it says, you know, hey, they're this ethnicity, they're this tall, they're this weight, this color eyes, color hair, something about them, what their job is. So then, okay, if they're a doctor, you think, oh, they're really smart. And I don't know. I mean, again, this is just what I've seen on TV. I have no idea if this is really what it's like.
It's such a factory type thing. You know, it's kind of like a Handmaid's Tale, but in reverse. Like, we're using all these men for their...
I know. It's kind of, the whole thing, like, I'm really glad that it exists.
Yeah.
But it also... Like
the reality of it. Wouldn't it be really cool? It'd be really cool to talk to someone who kind of went through it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Although maybe not. Maybe they would just be like, yeah, it's a medical procedure and a private thing and very whatever.
I think some people probably would be totally willing to talk about it.
If there's no pictures, forget it.
Right.
I want to be able to, like, look through and be like, well, there's... But then everybody would be picking, like, James Marsden or whatever as their baby daddy. You know? Right. Like, they're all just... They would be like, do you have any more of this guy? They'd be like, no, we're sold out.
We're sold out.
Oh, we're all out of that guy.
She says, what I thought was funny was out of dozens of available donors, there were two or three that were really popular. James Marsden. That most of the women wanted to use. I don't know what it was, but apparently these guys had what women were looking for.
Do you hear that, guys? If you really want to know what the ladies think, go donate some sperm. And then, I don't know, figure out how many people asked for your strain or whatever. What did your family think of you doing this job?
Apparently my parents got a kick out of it.
What? Would your parents get a kick out of it if you worked at a sperm bank?
I don't think so, but I don't know. They might surprise me. But I didn't know it at the time. I'd come by their place for dinner, and they'd be like, how's work? And I'd say, fine. But my brother told me later that after I'd leave to go back to my apartment, they'd just go off on these sick jokes for hours about my hand sticking to the phone or whatever. Oh my God, her parents!
That's I like her parents.
Actually kind of funny.
Aww.
Well, that was it. And it started off a little bit on a sad note.
Well, don't talk about that part.
But I was getting ready to say it ended on a funny note.
Okay, that her hand's sticking to the phone.
Yes.
All right, that was 30 minutes. So let's do another one.
All right, let's try another one.
Through it. All right, here, you just pick a hand and we'll do whatever one you choose.
Why are there two in each hand?
Because one for me, one for you.
Oh, yes, duh.
This one?
Yep.
Okay, grab one.
Oops.
Oh, I'm sweating. Are you hot? It's hot in here.
I'm. And the red wine. Why are you asking me that? I'm constantly hot. I don't. You should put a fan in here for me. I gotta say.
Well, at some point, I'm gonna have somebody take a picture of us sitting here because it's so ridiculous.
I know the way we're all
hunched
crammed
over this
in
tiny
here.
Little
yeah.
desk. I saw these girls doing this podcast that I like, and they had just the holding your mic.
Oh, yeah, that would actually be
kind
of nice.
See, imagine how we could put pillows on the floor here and just, like, lay there and talk with the mic. Wouldn't
we could just walk
nice?
Around and pace if we felt like, hey, we
I know.
Walk around
well, they don't know how long these cables are. They're not wireless. They have
oh,
a long cord.
Oh, no.
But...
We need wireless.
Oh, God. Come on, man. I'm down hundreds of dollars. So I have a couple, probably maximum 200 listeners. I spent $2 for each one of these at least so far. So I can't spend any more money on microphones. Whew, that's me fanning myself.
Ooh, this one actually sounds cool. All right, let's see. An interview with Robert Cork Callen, certified firewalk instructor.
Why does it sound interesting?
I don't know. What's a firewalk?
I think he still does this. I think I Googled him. This was 2004. I think I Googled him and he still does this. So he might be out there if you want to contact
because,
him.
Because, hello, how many firewalk instructors do you know?
Have you ever done this, firewalk?
No, have you?
No. What are you picturing a firewalk is?
Like you walk across a bunch of hot coals or something?
Yeah, yeah.
No. That sounds like my nightmare.
That's a good point. If it was walk across some ice,
I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
although
like,
your
I just
feet
lay
would
on
just
it.
Turn completely numb, I guess, if you were walking across a bunch of
like
ice.
Like Sissy's foot.
Yes. Like Sissy's foot last night.
All right, just tell this story about Sissy's foot.
No, it's not. It doesn't translate.
Like,
all right.
Well, her sister was like walking across the room like some sort of monster.
Like dragging her foot.
Dragging her dead foot.
It woke me up in the middle of the night. Shuffle, 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 shuffle. Sissy, are you
but
okay?
But it has to be like slide, shuffle. Yes. Or slide, stop. Slide, stop. Like she was shuffling. Yes. Anyway.
Anyways.
And her foot was dead.
We digress.
Okay, Robert. When was the first time you walked across a bed of hot coals?
I was a lawyer and I went to a hypnosis convention in New Hampshire in 1992. They had a firewalk the first night, and I was the first one over the fire. I walked over the fire 8 times and watched 150 people walk over. I thought that the instructor was good. He was successful, but I thought of how I might improve it, do it my own way. I was disgruntled as an attorney. I was living in Philly at the time, so I started traveling on weekends to make fires for the instructor. Oh, so he was the fire starter. Like Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder how much he looked like Drew Barrymore.
I did it without pay for a few months, and I gave my notice at work 1 week after that first firewalk. Wow. Some people thought I was crazy. They either, it does sound crazy. If someone that I worked with that was a lawyer said, hey, I'm going to quit this really cushy job that I worked 8 years or however long it takes to become a lawyer.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go start fires. I mean, that does sound like
people can walk over.
A crazy thing to do.
Could you start a fire without, like, if I just gave you some sticks?
Oh, heck no. I mean, I was a Girl Scout and everything, but I don't think we were even allowed to play with fire.
Oh, my God. Can I just tell you, just this is a throwback to Preston's interview last week.
Oh, yeah.
He sent me the board of contraband, the contraband board. Oh, yeah, yes, I sent it to you.
You sent it
and
to me.
And one of the things, it's kind of hard to see, right? Because yes. The pictures are kind of small. I asked him, what are some of the things in this picture? And he pointed out, in the lower corner, there is a book that has the cutout, and there's a lighter inside it. So it was like a Bible or another book that had a lighter inside, just like you would see in a movie. I mean, it's amazing how much of this stuff is like a movie.
I got to say that spider thing did freak me out.
Oh, my God. Like, did you see the one I emailed? Did I email you the close-up
yes,
of the spider?
Yes.
You're a spider up.
I like, couldn't even remember what they were making those spiders out of.
Just string and dye. Like,
but they look real.
Totally.
Like, creepy.
Totally.
Like a creepy big brown.
I'm telling you, there
like
should
it.
Be a real movement to, like, harness that energy.
Yes.
Because those spiders are incredible.
Right.
Like, the shit that they do, like, the engineering feats that these people are capable of. I know, there's no more.
No, it's fine.
I know, I could pause and go get some red wine. Okay. Where are we?
So he says, they either thought I was crazy or they congratulated me for getting out.
It sounds like most jobs when you leave. There's always people who are like, go do it. And other people are like, you're insane.
Right.
And you became a certified firewalk instructor.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we sure did.
Sure did. Send me, he's a cowboy.
Sure enough, honey child. I went to training for a week in Northern California. Oh, okay. So there's this actual training. We did firewalks every night for 8 nights. One night, you had to walk over the fire 140 times.
What?
Another night, you had to walk across a 40-foot fire. I mean, again, this sounds like, first of all, my cheeks are hot right now.
I know.
Already
I'm
from the red wine.
Pants and my legs are sweating. Behind my knees, it's like all wet.
I'm starting to sweat just reading this interview. He says, I liked it. I liked the benefits of it. And so I sold everything I owned and I moved to Jamaica. Hello. I want to meet this Robert because
this
is something that everybody talks about. Everyone,
who,
I mean, it's
always. Who it talks about?
No, talks about
selling
just
everything they own and moving to Jamaica?
Well,
I think about
just,
it all the time.
Just quitting your job and
yes.
moving to some island,
yes.
right? Everybody 100%. Talks about that. I'm
There's
tired
shows.
Of the rat
I watch
race.
Those shows. Yeah.
Right. So I want to meet this Robert dude because he actually had the guts to do it.
Dude, I think we're going to look him up.
Is this guy
sensing,
single? Because
I'm sensing a little bit of a matchmaking
mm-hmm.
here.
Except for the heat situation. Like, he needs to switch to ice or something else.
This could be your firewalking sugar daddy.
Mm-hmm.
This could be the guy who buys you a money.
Oh, I like
or
the
whatever.
Ring of that.
Firewalking
sugar
daddy.
Daddy.
Oh, my God. I got to write it down. This is going to be this
Do
episode.
It.
Is firewalking sugar daddy.
You got to look this
up.
Oh, Robert.
My God. The thing is, it's probably really easy to find him.
Robert, where are you? Call me right now.
Oh, my God. And he's going to call you, and then you're in now. It's
and then
done.
I move into Jamaica, Mon.
No, but he moved back, I think.
Oh, damn it.
He's begging.
If he's a lawyer again, forget it. Don't call me.
Yeah, no. Only if you're still teaching people to walk on fire as she and
That's
you.
That's right.
So I said, you did? You moved to Jamaica?
Is that how you said it?
He's like, are you feeling all right? I'm like, I just drank too much wine.
Anyway, yep.
Yep.
Trying to get a firewalking license there is tough.
Now, wait.
I know. Who even knew there was such a thing?
Right, he's in Jamaica. He's walking around saying to people, hey, can I get a firewalking? They're like, what the fuck?
Where's the building for the firewalking
right,
license?
Where do they give out the firewalking license?
And they're like, what the heck are you talking about? But I did it. Oh,
damn
it. Oh, I just got really disappointed.
Listen. Divorce rates in this country are high.
He says, but I did it. And then my wife was pregnant. And we moved to Miami where I started another business. But I still did the firewalking. I started doing firewalks for companies, sales teams, and themed events, that kind of thing. It took a while to get off the ground. Because first of all, I think how many people actually are really signing up for that? You know, like I tried to get
it's
a whole.
It's in Miami. It's already hot. Anyway,
I know. Well,
you tried
I
to get a whole,
tried to get a whole team of people when I worked at a company in Minnesota
to go go-kart racing?
Skydiving.
Oh, shit. And well, that's extreme.
Well, so is firewalking.
Yeah, I'd rather firewalk any day over skydiving.
Well, the whole thing was about facing your fears. So we had different levels of facing your fears. And I think our team had 14 people or something on it. And I've always wanted to skydive. And it was the third time that I had tried.
Mine would be wearing high-rise jeans. Like, that's one of my greatest fears.
Well, I think
what are my fears?
I think we went really small and we said,
facing your fears.
Some people just ride a roller coaster because that's your fear.
Yeah.
Maybe some people can hold a spider because that's your fear.
Oh.
And for all the other people, let's go skydiving. So we just had like these different levels and I was just going to do all of them. But then I moved to North Carolina.
You were going to do all of them?
Well, hello, roller coaster. That's my thing. Yeah. I mean, I love every like crazy roller coaster there is. I would have held the tarantula if it would have helped other people to do it.
Did you guys do that as a team?
No, because then I moved. Yeah. And I was kind of the
I like that you had this whole setup, though. It's like a series of work-related accidents waiting.
Right. Well, I know.
A series of things that HR would freak out about.
I guess we didn't really talk about that part. But
the legal implications.
I think we probably contacted HR and whatever. Yeah, we probably signed some things.
Whatever.
We made it to the amusement park as a big team. You know, some people are like, fine, I'll go on this roller coaster. But we never made it to the next two levels.
I get to like, I really like roller coasters too, but I get to where I'm going to pass out. Like if it goes in a circle or whatever, my head does that thing where it starts to be all crystally, the heat, and then it goes crystally, and basically I'm about to pass out, and then if it goes on for too long, then I'll pass out. So it's not good. Like, but so that's why I don't like it. If I didn't have that feeling like, ooh, I'm about to pass out, and then when I get off, I feel like I'm going to throw
up. Maybe
it's
that inner ear thing.
Yeah, I think I've always been a car sick, seasick, whatever, baby.
Me too,
like
but I love roller coasters. Yeah. I'll go on any of them.
Okay, sorry. So where
he
is he?
He says he was
he's
in Miami.
Boo.
It took a while to get off the ground, and I've continued to do them, but it's not a full-time situation yet. It's my plan to do a firewalk once a week at a permanent venue. I would do a performance on Friday nights for the general public, and I think I've been able to secure a venue in Mexico. I should be heading there in the fall.
So see, this he's was back in his wife and his
2004.
Child Yeah. Oh, he's probably on his fourth wife by now. You could be number five.
Stop it.
That's a good point. Sorry, sir. I the fact that you even spoke to me was kind and generous, so I don't mean to say that you're a philanderer. I just want Avril to, you know, have a sweet firewalking sugar daddy. Okay.
That's right.
How much do you charge?
I've gotten up to $20,000 for a two-hour firewalk for Avaya Corporation at the San Diego Marriott.
That just sounds like out of a movie.
I know. I mean, again.
It's very specific all of a sudden.
I know. Anyway. It is. It sounds like a very lucrative job, I must say.
In the right situation, yeah.
I'll either do a performance where me and my crew do the firewalk or a full-blown four-hour event. Breaking boards, walking over a bed of nails. Holy smokes, this just turned into a different, this just turned into a different thing. A lot of, and now he's like kind of going down a scary road for me. I don't know how I feel about Robert.
Bed of nails? You're not sure about a bed of nails?
No. A lot of corporations don't have the time or venue available for a firewalk, so we'll break boards, bend steel, and as the main event, we walk over a bed of nails.
Hmm.
That just sounds torturous.
I guess.
I mean, not that fire sounds so lovely, but you could just kind of go over
fire
quick.
You go fast. Yeah, this is, I guess the way it is that because your foot is large enough, no one nail is going to poke through. At least.
What if it did?
Fully. And then you get a little boo-boo.
A little boo-boo?
Well, probably they're not that sharp.
If you look down and saw a nail coming out of the top of your foot,
ooh.
One time, you would get that crystally whatever head feeling you were just
talking about. One time my brother was working for my dad doing like nailing baseboard, I think. I can't remember what the name of the gun is. It's a staple gun.
Oh, right.
He stapled his two fingers together.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. And he's hardcore. He's just like, I stapled my fingers together. I need to go to the hospital. Like, he's so calm about
excuse
it.
Excuse me.
He one time was lighting our pool heater and it exploded in his face. He got like burns. He was in the hospital. It was really frightening.
What?
When he was like graduating from high school, he had like somebody, he'd been playing basketball or somebody, smashed him and he had split his whole upper lip and he had stitches all over and his mustache was kind of growing crooked. Like he had to, you know, he couldn't really shave, that kind of thing. He chipped his tooth off when we were younger, and one time he threw a rock at my brother's head, or my brother threw a rock at him, and one of them had to get stitches. Like he just constantly, yeah, he had lots of accidents. He's safe now though. All right. Anyway, what's the bed of nails like? I am curious.
It's 2 foot by 4 foot and has 6,000 nails.
So two foot by 4 foot. So it's kind of like long and narrow.
Kind of like that. Yeah. Like I would picture it long and narrow. And then who's the one making this thing and how long does it take? I wonder if he, okay, let's see if he says. The technique is not hard. It's getting your mind right. When I have an event, I'll ask people, how many of you think you can break a board, smash a brick, bend a steel bar with your throat? With your throat? Or walk on a bed of nails. I'll get a smattering of hands. By the time it's over, nearly 95 to 100% of people have done it and believe that they can.
Bend. So let's go over this.
I know.
Break a board.
Okay, break a board, maybe.
But again, break a board.
How thick is the board?
Are you doing it over your leg? Smash a brick. Is this with your hand?
That just sounds like you're going to break a bone. Okay, this one's the most outrageous. Bend a steel bar with your throat. I mean, are you putting the bar under your throat and then putting your neck down to your chest so that you're bending it that way? Or
oh, like long-wise?
Well, just like, you know, I don't understand how you can bend a bar with your throat.
But by the time it's over,
who even came up with that? I mean,
I'm sure there's people. All right.
Then he says, sometimes when people are done, they'll ask me, what's next? And I'll tell them, your life is next.
You stupid, stupid failure.
A lot of people will quit smoking, lose weight, or change jobs after they do a fire walk. I mean, well, he did. Robert did. Yeah. So I like to make it fun rather than a 7-hour lecture. I mean, more power to Tony Robbins, but I don't lecture or make anyone write anything down. I have music and I like to make it entertaining.
I think I would go to this.
I do too. I can see myself going to it just for the hey hoo ha.
Especially after a couple more glasses of wine.
Yeah.
Like,
we're just going to build our own nail board.
Oh my God.
After we drink a bottle of wine, we're going to build a thing
tonight.
We are going to pump each other up and we're going to walk across this stinking thing and we're going to take pictures and post it on.
We would be doing that. We would be making our own nail board and then you could see pictures of us at the hospital.
We probably have some rusty nail on there and then
maybe we could sit on the stove, the gas stove. I'm trying to think.
No. I'm not signing up for any of the heat things, but we'll try the steel bar with our neck.
Maybe we could just put some ice in a bag and put it lightly on our necks.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
I know, me too. I'm fucking sweating like a pig.
Change jobs.
Oh my God, I'm freaking roasting. All right.
Well, it's only like 80 degrees in this stinking house.
Oh my God.
Go
I'm sorry.
Turn the heat down.
I would open the window, but then the sound would be, you know, whatever. Okay, sound quality is of the utmost importance here. What kind of safety precautions do you take?
The firewalk is 12 feet of fire.
12 feet long. So that's 6 times 2.
Oh my gosh. Takes about 5 steps or 2.5 seconds. I'm just going to keep talking.
Well, I was trying to picture like 12 feet and I thought, okay, I got to take off. I got these Shetland pony, what do you call these things? These slippers.
Sherpa.
They're like these slippers that are like the warmest damn things, but now that spring is actually coming. Okay.
People think they can do this
hold on. It's 12 feet of fire. I zoned out after I was doing my math. The firewalk's 12 feet of fire. It takes about 5 steps or 2.5 seconds. So 5 steps to go 12 feet. Is that true? We're going to set up an obstacle course.
Well, because they're probably walking fast and they're probably taking really big
steps. Well, hell yeah.
Steps.
I feel like Oprah might have done this.
I mean, it takes 2.5 seconds, he says.
Did you see Oprah do this?
I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah.
Now that you say that, we're going to look that up.
She definitely did. I got to write that down.
People thinking they can do this on their own is ridiculous. After we just got done saying,
that's why we're gonna do it.
We're gonna try this after we get off
like,
this thing.
I'm gonna. It's like watching Jackass. It's like I'm gonna throw oranges exactly. at my friend's legs with a highlight machine or whatever. Okay,
let's go get in a grocery cart and just go downhill.
Oh my god, let's go off the 18th floor balcony while we're at it. Okay.
You have to know the different kinds of wood and how to make the fire as safely as possible. For example, oak or mesquite burns too hot.
That's all I had was some mesquite.
Oh darn it, we're out. We can't do the firewalk tonight. You have to make sure the fire burns for a sufficient amount of time and then tamp it down to a level surface. And then you have to put your mind right. Well, my mind definitely isn't right. So yeah, we for sure cannot do this firewalk tonight. If somebody is intent on doing the wrong thing, there's not much you can do. If they shuffle when we told them not to, or if they run when we told them to walk. See, that would be my instinct is to just run across it.
Yeah.
Or if someone has an ego and they're waving at their friends, they might get blisters. Those blisters go away within a day or two, but they might have taught that person an important lesson. Like they weren't concentrating and weren't paying attention.
So no matter what the outcome, it's generally a rewarding experience for most people.
Upon reflection, most people are happy they did it. Westerners want 100% guarantee, but you can't give that. I like to say there is a 15% mystery involved. There have been hundreds of articles trying to debunk it, and I've suffered burns when I didn't do it right, but it's a real thing.
Do you consider this a worthwhile profession?
It's not easy to make a living, especially after 9/11. Corporations are extremely gun-shy. The only real way to get a gig is if the CEO says, "Get a firewalk." I want to do it on my own terms. If they want me to dress up and play the fool, I won't do it. I want to do it right and take it seriously. It's not a macho rite of passage. The main points I make are that things are more than what they seem, and you're capable of much more than you thought was possible. As far as future events, I've got several irons in the fire, so to speak. I'm going to do it on my own terms, and I won't stop until it happens, and it beats being a lawyer. We really need to look this guy up and see if he's still doing this.
I don't have my phone, but I'm 90% sure.
I mean, you have his whole name.
No. I think I did look him up not too long ago, and I thought he's still doing it. I'm pretty sure.
He's been doing it since 2004.
At least.
Right?
At least. I mean, he said, okay, he went to this convention in 1992, and that's when they had the firewalk. And that's when he quit his job.
Oh, that's right, because you just interviewed him in 2000.
My God. So he'd been doing it 10, 12 years when I talked to him. And then another 12 years or whatever have gone by.
I mean, that's crazy.
That's his...
I've never even heard of one single person that I know that has ever done this or ever even been to an event like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not like we don't know a ton of people. I mean, we're not hermit crabs. We definitely... And I've worked at like... 8 different companies. And, you know.
Yeah.
My resume is long.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just find it very fascinating.
Well, and I threw it on the floor, but I'm picking it up now. I do love, like, I almost cried a little bit.
Suzanne.
When he said, the main points are that things are more than what they seem, and you're capable of much more than you thought was possible. And, like, that's such a hopeful thing. I don't know. Especially since I'm shouting. I'm the tree in the forest that keeps falling over and over again and saying, you know, somebody pay attention to me. But everybody's doing that, right? It's like everybody in the world wants to be a YouTube star and have a podcast. Blah, 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 blah. And so it's like, why continue? And then I see this. He's going to do it on his own terms, and he won't stop until it happens.
That's right. See?
And it beats being a lawyer. So, I don't know. Anyway.
And he didn't even have to lecture you, like he said.
He didn't have to lecture
Well,
me.
He was saying he doesn't like to lecture people. Oh, right. He likes to make it fun, entertaining, blah, blah, blah.
I am very susceptible to self-help Tony Robbins and whatnot. Like, I'm always like, tell me. A few years ago, I went to that Oprah thing when she came to Seattle. She did like a full 2-day event.
I do sort of remember that.
Yeah. She had like all these different speakers who she walked within like 10 feet of me. It was so exciting. Yeah.
That's crazy.
But then, you know, as soon as she comes over, everybody pulls their phone out and then she just turns around and walks away. Because she's just like,
Right.
Like, you can't just interact with people. They have to have their phone.
Of course.
I'm into that self-help stuff.
Yeah, I like it too. But
it's embarrassing. Somebody came over though once and was looking at my books on the shelf, and I was like, I'm gonna move those because like
have their mom. Yes, like, you can.
I know.
Yeah. Hey, it's good. It's all good stuff. But I see what you're saying. But I mean, this is like a cool way to do it, right? Firewalking. Come on.
How's your week been?
Total crap.
Really? Oh. How was today? She went shopping with Sissy.
We don't want to talk about my life right now. It's just boring.
Did she find a bathing suit?
No.
People know. Mm-hmm. It's nearly impossible to find a bathing suit.
Well, like, I mean, they just didn't have a kind that we wanted. So we just said no.
Is it too soon? Are there bathing suits in stores right
now?
No,
there are because it's spring break. So, you know, everybody. Yeah. Or even in January, they start coming out because they know everybody wants to get the heck out of Dodge and go on some cruise or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure there's some small company out there right now that's like, we make the best bathing suits for every woman, and they're so...
It's a bunch of baloney.
I know, it's the same with... The worst thing is when they're like, these jeans are for every... Like, not your daughter's jeans. I'm just like, these jeans... Sorry, not your daughter's jeans. I've tried on
NYDJ.
So many...
NYDJ. I've had a couple of pairs of those.
Oh, I can't... Oh, I've tried.
I don't even have a daughter, and I had some of those.
she just wears leggings. I was like, what does my daughter's jeans wear? Anyway... Any other stories? Any other news? I know my work has been very busy this week, too.
Yeah, I'm slammed and, you know, I'm short-staffed and it's just, it's work, whatever. But yeah. I have my New York trip coming up the end of May, so I just keep holding on to that and saying, oh, yeah, it's going to be really fun.
I saw a documentary last night that I think you might enjoy. I think it was on Netflix. I don't know. Mike turned it on. It's something about, you know, Stephen Sondheim. I guess he's a Broadway dude.
Yep.
Have you heard of a show called Merrily We Roll Along?
Yes.
And it went out. And it's a documentary. So the one guy who did the documentary is the guy from, you know, Dirty Dancing, the guy who dated the older sister.
Mm-hmm.
So he did the documentary because he was in that Merrily We Roll Along.
Interesting.
Him, Jason Alexander, I almost said George Costanza, which I'm sure he would hate. Jason Alexander. But here's the crazy thing. So it was a documentary about the making of that play, and it like opened and then it shut.
Yes.
But the stories behind it were so great, and they did like a reunion like 20 some years later, and it was just a really well done.
I love that kind of stuff.
But I can't, there's something about that music that I hate more than like, I can't. Oh, but anyway, but it was really good. And the other funny part is that Jason Alexander has throughout the movie a variety of different hair pieces. And you're just like, you know, we all know that you're bald.
Right.
You're fine. I don't even notice. You know, I don't even think, oh, there's a bald man. It's him. But then when he has like he had a curly wig. He had like a flat wig. And like different scenes, he's wearing different wigs. It's like
jewelry.
Because
they probably want him to have this character that has
these
different looks.
No, it had
nothing
to do. No. This is a documentary where they're interviewing him now about his experiences from 23 years ago.
Wait, he's wearing one now?
Yes. They interviewed him over a series of a few months. And
that seems crazy because he didn't have it on Seinfeld forever.
And
so
he didn't have it in this they interviewed him, say, over a series of a year, maybe. And in one interview, he'd have a toupee on, and in another one, he wouldn't. Like, he just...
Well, you know what? If women can wear extensions for days,
true.
Like,
I know. I'm not him.
All
I
the time,
say.
It would be he's tough. Just maybe playing around and, hey, I look better with hair, so I'm going to wear this and I'm going to try different kinds on. And we dye our hair all the time, so whatever.
What's that other guy? Oh, Jeremy Piven. Look, that guy's back. He's like, what are those ladies doing over there? Should we wave at him? I'm sweating. I'm going to wave. He's going to see my massive pit stink. Oh, it's so hot. Hey, buddy. He's cleaning, I think, probably. Either that or he's just wandering around the office. I haven't seen him clean anything. He's just wandering around. Oh, my God, he's got a gun. No, I'm just kidding.
Stop.
What's he doing? All right, we're going to give you the play-by-play. He just took a tissue. He just took a tissue out of the tissue box. Now he's walking away. Sir, are you going to clean anything? This reminds me of my friend, the janitor guy, who was telling me about his fellow janitors, how they would just fall
just
asleep on the job.
He's wandering around and he hasn't even used the tissue yet, so that's what I don't know.
What
understand.
Is he doing?
I don't know, but this is not exciting.
Maybe he's got a country crock tub over there.
I know, I was thinking the same thing.
I know, because he took a tissue and then he went behind that cubicle. And he sees a sexy lady sitting over here. He disappeared, everyone.
All right, well,
I know.
Let's move it along here.
I know, okay, that's it. That's it, everyone. We did more interviews. Stay tuned for next week when we have more guest stars. And there you go. Avril's yawning. What a horrible sign this is.
It's too hot in here. I'm like, it's like I'm passing out.
It's a freaking oven. We need to get out of here. Man. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Hope we've made your day. Happy one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.